Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon, and select retailers nationwide.
All right, welcome to a special episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool, August the 26th. We have me, we have Gooch, and we have Robbie Fox on today because we're going to be doing a DC draft. There's a lot of like DC stuff in the news right now. Obviously, Superman is very successful, but the big thing that's been going around is how, is it Brandon Sklenar? Or
this is what I'm talking, this guy should not be, you don't even know his name. Exactly. I couldn't tell you how to pronounce his name correctly.
Let's see, Sklenar,
You might know him from the most recent Colleen Hoover movie adaptation.
Which was terrible. Which is god-awful.
Which was what?
What was it called?
I Beat My Wife. It's Me, Margaret?
It ends with us. It ends with us.
I Beat My Wife. She Took Me Back.
I saw a little bit. I like fell asleep in the middle of that, woke up for the end, yeah.
Skleener, I guess.
He's handsome.
Super handsome. He's in
He's a handsome guy.
He's in that Yellowstone spinoff. He looks amazing in that. And he's really good in it, too. But he's making the rounds kind of as like, oh, maybe he could play Batman. And
maybe he can.
Look, he can. I'm not doubting anybody. Anybody could potentially do it. It's just one of those names where it just kind of came out of nowhere and just hit the stratosphere, I guess. And everyone's talking about it. So we're going to be doing, at the conclusion of our reviews, we'll be doing basically a draft of all... or not really a draft, more like we're just kind of casting out some of the other main DC characters. But before we get to that, we'll also be talking about some news. Me and Gooch will be reviewing Highest to Lowest, as well as I think maybe touching on Honey Don't. I think briefly. There's not a lot to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a lot of touching.
Yeah, definitely a lot of touching in that movie. Yeah, for sure. But before that, let's just get through some straight news. Nice and easy. First up, we had the first trailer for Anemone. It always reminds me of, was it
Finding Nemo? Oh, I thought the exact same thing.
The anemone. Family bonds between fathers, sons, and brothers are explored as complex relationships fold through personal journeys and generational conflicts. It's Daniel Day-Lewis's first film in a decade since Phantom Thread. Sean Bean is in it as well, and Daniel Day-Lewis's son, Ronan, directed it. It's his first feature-length movie, kind of see why he wants to come back to do it, help his son out, making a big movie for sure, nepo thing, whatever. If that gets Daniel Day-Lewis out of retirement, I'm fine with that. And honestly, after watching the trailer, I'm like, okay, I'm not getting a lot from this, whatever. But if this comes out and is bad and it forces Daniel Day-Lewis to say, I can't end on that note, he goes and does a good movie with a great director, I'm all down for that. And if maybe this gets him the bug, it is great, and he gets the bug to start acting more in general, I'm down for it. Either way, I just like to see Daniel Day-Lewis back on the screen.
Yeah, I've been hesitant to really comment on or like even give any mind to the Daniel Day-Lewis return to acting, just based on he's starring in a movie for his son. And I don't know what that means. When they say his son's name, I have no fucking idea who that is. He's 22, right? This is his directorial debut.
22?
Young guy, yeah.
He's very young. So I'm like, well, this may not be a real movie. So I don't know if we can really count this. Seeing the trailer, holy shit, this is a real movie.
It looks beautiful. Shocked me saying it was a 22-year-old.
Yes, it looks like someone who's been doing it for a while. I mean, sure, he's probably had a lot of help growing up, getting into the arts and, you know, shaping his skills, but good Lord, it looks fantastic.
He might have like a
very
great
excited
DP
for this.
He might have like a really good DP on it, so I don't want to give like...
Probably does.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, I would assume, yeah, his whole life growing up around, you know, some of the greatest movies and greatest filmmakers. My main takeaway from the trailer was Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't look that old. Why did he ever retire?
He's one of those actors.
You know, like, just say, hey, I'm taking a break. I'm not going to be acting for a while. And then, like, maybe leave the door open for, I don't know, in 10 years a role might come up that I want to do. Seems crazy to me that he ever retired. I also feel like I can't like claim to be a Daniel Day-Lewis guy because I haven't seen so many of his classics.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Haven't seen Phantom Thread. I know everyone loves that. I just watched Gangs of New York for the first time.
How good is he in it, though?
Blew me away, obviously. And There Will Be Blood, I love his performance in. I don't love the movie. I love, like, the first half of the movie, and then I don't love, like, what comes after the explosion and whatnot.
By the way, Ben Fordsman is the DP on this. He did also Love Lies Bleeding, which did look
good. Okay, yeah, no, that looked really good.
Yeah.
I like the look of that.
Yeah, a couple other things. End of the Fucking World, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a couple other random ones in between.
I've been thinking about that show recently because of Alex Lothar and the Alien Earth.
Wow, yeah.
No, I've been waiting for... Not to get off track, but
Saint Maud as well.
Yes.
But yeah, so he, I mean, he's got some credits there. But yeah, not to take too much credit away from Ronan Day-Lewis. Or is it Ronan Lewis?
Ronan Day-Lewis.
RDL. Yeah.
Day-Lewis is the
surname. I guess that's a combo surname.
Never thought about that.
You also had a trailer for The Mastermind in 1970. Mooney and two cohorts wander into a museum in broad daylight and steal four paintings. When holding on to the art proves more difficult than stealing them, Mooney is relegated to life on the run, starring Josh O'Connor and Alana Haim, directed by Kelly Reichardt, who I think UMD probably best know from First Cow, which I liked a lot. I liked First Cow. That was a good movie. Good, quiet little indie movie.
What is that? Because I saw I think it said, like, from acclaimed director, and I didn't recognize the director, looked her up, and I didn't recognize the movies either.
Very popular indie director.
Yeah.
Very, like, there's a subsect of, like, A24 heads who think she's, like, the GOAT running right now.
They say she's, like, literally the best actor,
and
or best
what
director.
What would your take?
She's talented, but, like, I think there's more to it than making an indie movie. I'm excited for this, but, like, yeah, I don't think...
Kind of gave me, like, Wes Anderson vibes a little bit.
The color, for sure.
Yeah. Coloring, a lot of...
Is that, like, how all her movies look?
I wouldn't say First Cow looked like that.
No. Okay. This was a very different turn, I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah, First Cow was pretty dreary, I would say, overall. John Magaro, right, was the main guy.
I watched it on the cast for this, too.
Should I throw that on the watch list, First Cow?
It's a tough one to write. It's very...
Tough to recommend.
Okay.
Very artsy, but I like it. It's a cool little, like, quiet story. You know what I mean?
I think this will be the same. I think this will be very quiet.
Yeah.
So when it says heist movie, I'm, like, just a little hesitant to really buy that.
But it looks cool.
Like a full-on heist movie.
But it looked cool.
Oh,
I like
it looks
O'Connor.
Very cool.
I like Alana Haim a lot. I think she was awesome in Licorice Pizza. So I like all the components. So hopefully it's good. And I do like the 70s. I feel like it's kind of hard to make... A lot of movies feel very immersive, and I think the way that they shot it with whatever technique they're using to make it look more 70s-ish, but it looks like more immersive to the period.
Grain.
Yeah, very
grainy.
Beautiful
grain.
Oh. I feel like the visuals were what drove me to kind of be interested more than anything else in the trailer.
Yep.
Yeah. Some other news that we got, Glenn Powell said he could never play Bond. Austin Butler also said the same thing. I do like the funniest thing is that Glenn Powell said, I'm a Texan.
Yes.
not because he's an American, but because he's a Texan. And Austin Butler said the same thing, which that was a little more shocking.
Weird that both quotes came out this week. Like, is there some journalist out there that's just asking every American? Yeah.
This is going to be the Marvel. It's going to be the Marvel. You know, when for a while there, during like the in-game days, like, didn't matter who you were, you were going to get asked if you would ever be in a Marvel movie or a DC movie. And now it's like... Denny Villeneuve is doing a James Bond movie, and we don't know who James Bond is going to be. So it's like the biggest role out there.
With Butler, I guess it makes sense since he's worked with Denny before. Glenn Powell has not yet, unless I'm really forgetting something.
No. So. Butler also said, like, yeah, I can't do that, but, like, if you want me to play the villain, call me up. And I feel like they should call him up.
Oh,
after
sure.
seeing how he played the villain in Dune 2, like, holy shit, he would probably knock that out of the park.
Depends on the type of villain, I guess. But, yeah, you could definitely do it.
Yeah.
He's also good in Eddington. He was a good pseudo-villain.
Yeah. I like the idea of that. As soon as I read that quote, I was like, Austin Butler as a Bond villain could be fucking cool.
Very, very cool. K-pop Demon Hunters made $18 million last weekend. It's Netflix's first ever time leading the box office, which, considering the company's been around for like 20 years, not always making movies, but like it does feel kind of crazy because they make so many
movies. I didn't
know
they put that in theaters.
They put it in for like with like a sing-along version so that people could take their kids and go watch it and like do the sing-along part.
It was already out on Netflix for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
But just kind of a cool little thing. Like they're like, hey, maybe we'll just throw this in the theater, and it made a shit ton of money. So maybe do that more often with the movies that you spend $800 million making instead of just dumping it on a streaming platform.
Yeah, I mean, especially for like the new Knives Out.
Yeah.
Oh, they give that theatrical. I know they give Glass Onion like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. I appreciate them trying because it is a step forward, but give it a theatrical window.
Yeah.
Come on.
Even if just a week.
This is also a different case where like there was no way this would be the hit. This wouldn't have been the hit it would have been. Or I just mean K-pop Demon Hunters in general. Like,
what happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
It gained its fandom on Netflix. Like, there was no hype for it before that. Like,
sure, yeah.
It was like, oh, there's a nice little animated movie about K-pop stars.
Well, anime movies are making money now.
Well, yeah.
Fucking Demon Slayer movie comes out, it makes like $1 trillion.
Yeah, that one's going to make a shit ton of money.
That's going to make so much money.
You just
money.
Went to AnimeCon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. God. How was it? I forgot to ask how it was.
Exactly what you think.
Yeah.
Exactly what you think.
Yeah. You're still taking like heavy showers and scrubbing a lot?
Yes.
You got a body pillow?
Yeah. Literally, oh my God, the body pillows are insane.
What are those things called? Oh, dice.
Yeah, I mean, the people there. I mean, it's very fun. Anytime you have a chance to do like not just an anime convention, like any kind of convention is generally very fun because like anytime you get that deep into a subculture, you just, the most interesting things happen. Like you just see the most interesting people letting loose. Like it's bizarre. It's cool and it's bizarre.
Yeah, very interesting. Next thing, Kobe Bryant movie is going to be made at Warner Bros. It's initially reported like, hey, it's a biopic. Oh my God, it's a biopic of Kobe Bryant. Apparently it's not, at least based on what I most recently read. It's a behind the scenes of the 96 draft, drafting Kobe Bryant, told from the perspective of John Nash and John Calipari. So like their process of drafting Kobe. So they're basically doing kind of Air, except from the draft room.
Like Air, yeah.
Yeah, so if they're doing the kind of the same thing where they're not going to show Kobe and it's just like, hey, here's the process of how we ended up getting him to trade and like all that stuff, like that could be cool. It's just Kobe's a very like touchy subject, you know?
Yes.
So it's
like I don't see how this is like it's going to be polarizing. I guess people will go out and see it. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Big time. It's going to be a mix of like Air and Draft Day.
Yeah.
Two movies everyone loves.
Yeah, two equally loves.
Clemmer says Air is like number four on the decade.
He loves Air. Clemmer
loves it. It's a crazy take, but all the power to him.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that, but
good movie.
It's good. Yeah, yeah, I would agree. Good movie, not one I'm like holy shit, I gotta
no.
Hold up the flag for Air.
I will say that's the smart way to go about things with these athlete movies. Anytime you're getting into sports, we just don't have the actors with the athletic abilities to pull it off ever. So like just focusing on the behind the scenes of it, I think always is the better play.
Agreed. Couldn't agree more. Blade Runner 2099 will officially come out next year on Prime. Speaking of dumping stuff on Prime, Michelle Yeoh and Hunter Schafer both in it. Not like a ton to really know or say about it. I do think Schafer's like an interesting pick to put into this because she's got like an android like look to her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I think fits perfectly into this universe. And Michelle Yeoh, obviously great and excellent actor across generations. But although I would have loved her, if this was like 10, 20 years ago and she could do all the action shit still, it would be a lot cooler. But yeah, just like a little note on that. And then lastly, Gears of War is officially being written. This has been, I feel like since Gears had originally came out, like the years following, people are constantly speculating, like Gears movie, Batista constantly.
Always, yeah.
Always trying to get cast as Dom in that movie. It's officially being written, being directed by David Leitch, who did obviously Deadpool, John Wick, Bullet Train, a bunch of other things. And it's going to be written by John Spates, who did Dune 2, Prometheus, and Doctor Strange. Crazy.
Wow.
As far as sci-fi fantasy goes, that's
holy shit.
Pretty damn good resume.
It's a good lineup.
I don't even think I realized the guy that did Doctor Strange like did the Dune movies.
Yeah, he co-wrote both Dunes, did Prometheus as well. And I mean, that's some great sci-fi right there. And you add that, you take that sort of skill in writing and you put that onto Gears, which is a very interesting storyline.
I was going to say, is it a good story? I don't
very
even know.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's like you're in the future and like this, well, it's a different planet, whatever. But like all of a sudden, like all the nations finally like start to come together after these big global wars. And then it turns out underneath, like in like the Earth's core kind of like, or sub, what's a mantle? I guess like right below the surface, basically.
Subterranean.
There's all this whole other species of creatures that come out and try to take over the surface.
Like the Gorge.
Kind of similar to the gorge.
Gorge, heard about it.
So they're coming out of this thing, and like all of a sudden, all humanity now has to fight these things, the locust, they call them.
Okay.
And they're like these disgusting orc type creatures with all these weird like monsters and stuff that were fight for them. It's
fucking metal, no pun intended.
It's good. It's good as shit. And a good voice cast too on that too. I
mean, a bunch of chainsaw guns,
the Lancer.
For some cool action sequences, you could do some unique stuff.
Oh yeah. And John DiMaggio was Marcus Phoenix.
Are they saying they're doing this as a movie or show?
Movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Were you a Gears guy?
No, wasn't.
I think if they do this right, it could be great. That's all I'd say about it.
Yeah, I mean, the writer, that's a huge pickup. I mean, anytime you can get someone like that in doing sci-fi, kind of the way I like to do it, which is more heady and like asking questions, which Prometheus and Dune both do. Hell yeah.
Yeah, and there's definitely something you can do with that here, especially because, like, again, the beginning of it is all humans fighting each other, and then you switch to fighting the bigger picture, kind of like Halo, I guess.
Doctor Strange takes such a unique twist at the end, like the way he defeats Dormammu. I remember watching that and being like, I've never seen a Marvel movie and anything like that.
He basically can't beat him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He annoys him until he wins.
He annoys him. He kills himself to death.
Yeah. And it's such a great ending to that movie. The only thing is they wasted Mads Mikkelsen in that role.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah.
Poor guy. What was his name in it again? Cal something?
Dormammu?
Dark Eyes.
Mads Mikkelsen character.
Glitter Eyes. Old Glitter Eyes.
Oh, damn it. Mads character, Doctor Strange. Calcium?
Calcium?
I don't remember that too much. But yeah, they did waste him. Anyway, that's the news for the day. Just going to touch on some quick shows as well. Peacemaker Season 2 dropped over the weekend. I liked the first episode. I don't... here's the thing. I think they changed the character of Peacemaker a lot, and I didn't love how nice he is now. Mm. And people came back, and they're like, well, he's supposed to be like a character growth. You know what I mean? Like, you grow. I have no issue with growth as a character. I just don't like pendulum swings because I don't think that's like a thing people do. I don't think you go from being good, fully good to fully bad. I don't think you go from fully bad to fully good. And I don't love that, what they did with him so far as that goes. But I do like what they've set themselves up for with like going into the alternate universe. They kind of do like, it's almost like the Flash thing where it's like, I want to go be in the universe where everything's good in my life. Yeah. And I do like that. There's a lot of funny things like you expect out of the... Even from the first season of Peacemaker, like when he goes to try to audition for the Justice Gang, very funny.
Loved that. Sean Gunn was so funny.
It was so good. But yeah, I would say mostly liked it. Don't love the character changes so far, but that's it.
Yeah, it was I don't want to say rocky start because I actually loved the way they started, which was, I mean, there were so many questions about how are they going to gloss over or how are they going to figure out how to explain Peacemaker being in the DCU and not the DCEU. Mm-hmm. When last season it ends with him talking straight to Momoa's Aquaman.
Yeah.
And they just were like, oh yeah, that didn't happen.
Very funny. Yeah. That's funny.
Such a good reshoot.
Yeah.
It's so like, you know what? Like people should not care this much. Like this is what we're going to do. Like just make a simple band-aid fix. It does not need to be too complicated. We're just going to say he's in the DCU now. Don't worry about it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Outside of that, though, it was rocky. Like, it wasn't as funny as I was hoping for. I guess this is more setup. Yeah, it just didn't really hit for me. I don't know.
I want less drama, more humor out of Peacemaker, at least from my viewing experience.
Might be what it was. But I guess we were just finding where everyone was at that point. Like, we're finding out that Harcourt can't get a job at any of the alphabet. We're finding out Peacemaker's life still sucks. The Justice Gang is hiring. So I guess they're going to be part of this season, maybe a little bit.
I think so.
Yeah, good stuff, but like definitely could have been funnier. I guess that's the real appeal for Peacemaker for me, is how funny it was.
Having a, what's his name, join in as his his brother, what was his name, the guy, Roy.
Yes, Roy from The Office.
Yeah, that's
great.
Cool.
Casting, I thought.
Yeah.
It's like you need the person in that family to be a little douchey.
Yeah.
I feel like you see that actor and you just picture Roy right away, I do at least.
Do you know the second level to why that's a very funny casting?
Well, the Jenna Fisher thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. If you don't know, James Gunn was once married to Jenna Fisher, Pam from The Office. Mm-hmm. So bringing in the husband, very funny.
I do think a lot of people are like, oh, it's a big own to troll. No, like, I don't think that. They're,
I think it's just
friends.
I think it's just a funny coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
they're probably the little dig at 30 Seconds to Mars that everyone's saying. Yeah, like, James Gunn hates Jared Leto. He got that dig in there.
No,
like, I don't know. It's also just like a funny, very funny joke.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also like that we're doing multiverse in this season, but it's like such a grounded take on the multiverse of like
just two.
John Cena breaking down and crying because he sees, you know, stuff like that. I don't spoil too much of it, but it's very, it's not, we're seeing 1,000 Deadpools, which I was fine with in Deadpool.
Yep.
It's much different.
Yeah. Just like one other little pocket universe or whatever. You just get a little bit of that. And I do like the general concept of that is, it's good. It's like an emotional thing, but also. And
apparently the last three episodes are like James Gunn's favorite thing he's ever directed.
That's what everyone's been saying.
Oh, wow.
He won't even let his own publicist watch them because he's so worried about spoilers. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in those final three episodes, but people are hyping him up to an insane level already.
Yeah. Wait until Brandon Sklenar's Batman shows up.
People are legitimately saying is like the DCU Batman debuting in Peacemaker.
There's not a fucking chance.
The fact that people are even saying speaks to how like James Gunn has got people being like, oh my God, like maybe he'll appear in Peacemaker season two. Like what?
As much as I'm a James Gunn guy, I think that he's figured out comic books, especially again with Superman in a way that no one else had been able to figure out. Don't forget, this is the same guy that said, like, The Flash is amazing.
That's what I said. I literally said that in my mom's basement. I was like, let's all temper expectations. He said The Flash is one of the greatest superhero movies ever made.
Yeah, just keep it all in mind. That's all I'll say.
I would love to have the lasso of truth around him and be like, what was going on when you said that? Did you know as soon as it came out of your mouth, like, I'm going to regret that one?
There had to be some Hollywood mandate that went out with everyone was acting like, I mean, everyone was saying that movie was great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they needed it to do well. I don't know if the whole industry was writing on that movie, but
Tom Cruise sent out the mandate.
Possibly.
Ooh. He has the
for the good of movies.
Like, Tom Cruise is probably right. He's been right in the past. Let's fucking do it. Yeah. Still, I think a good movie, but like, no more than that, really. I wouldn't even say a great movie.
No.
Yeah, no, definitely would not say. I wouldn't even say that. But yeah, that's Peacemaker. I would say more excited for what's next out of it, not necessarily what we got.
Total setup. Yeah.
Alien Earth Episode 3 came out over this last week as well on Wednesday. I'm digging Alien Earth a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. I like there are main set of characters. Like, Noah Hawley, I think, is good at, like, throwing out some questions at you.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, make you think a little bit. He does that. You get, I think, two really interesting main characters in, like, the Wendy. What's the brother's name again? I forget. I like
Wendy and
Joe?
Hermit.
Joe?
Hermit. His nickname's, like, Hermit.
Yeah.
But so, I can't remember his, like, actual name.
That was Joe. Am I dumb?
Maybe Joe.
Yeah, but I like their, like, dynamic in it. I really like the production value. Like, we were talking about it before. Reminds me a lot of Romulus, like, the retro tech, which I think is so much smarter than, like, everything is updated, even though for some reason we're actually back in time from Alien, the original. So
CG looks good, too.
Yeah.
The monsters, not only the xenomorph, the little things, like the creatures.
The eyeball.
I love the little creatures.
Yeah little critters.
Yep. Those are great. Timothy Oliphant's fucking great.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's, like, one of my favorite parts of the show.
Oh, yeah. I like when he's, like, kind of, like, trying to back down the security officer, too.
Yes.
He's like shit-talking about, like, trying to intimidate him.
Mm.
I like his back and forth with Boy Cavalier.
Yes.
I like that actor, too. He's doing a really good job. Like, great, like, psycho rich guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boy genius.
He's very good.
Yes. Yeah. He's been, I think, my favorite character so far. He's very good. This is all been what I hope for. I also really love we're getting, like, all three different types of, and that's kind of what the premise leads off with, the three different types of infinite life, or is immortality.
Yeah, sorry. Continuation.
Like the cyborg, the synthetics, what was the third option?
The
hybrids, and like kind of you get to see how they're processing their humanity in real time, and then the monsters. We've gotten probably a little too much xenomorph for my liking these first three episodes. Yeah. But I can't complain because the other monsters are so fucking good. I love the little eyeball monster with all the eight eyes. And then when you get the POV shot from the monster and it's like looking out of a fly's eyes. I don't know. It's like a kaleidoscope. Good. So good.
We were talking about it earlier. The fact that they introduced the main xenomorph so early makes us think like that's clearly not going to be one of the big bads here. It's going to be something else. But I don't think it's going to be like a queen or
fucking
whatever.
Fucking jacked xenomorph. Like some kind of
something different.
That looks like The Rock.
What if humans are the real villains?
Humans.
It is funny when he's like, this is no longer a recon mission. Like, go get the...
Go steal their shit.
It's like, all right, we're doing the alien thing. Yeah. Yep.
Go steal their shit.
The info, yeah.
I do like also seeing, like, Weyland Yutani, like, their CEOs going back. Like, the whole world is like...
war between that stuff and who has, like, oversight. Well, this is now a crash on our property. That's all really cool.
Yes, I know. It's kind of setting up like in like a Game of Thrones kind of way. Like they're getting like some loyalty set up, like backstabbing. Like you can see like the alliances starting to form. It's very fun.
I was wailing you, Connie.
I wasn't really expecting that.
Which that's something I think both of you, when I talked to you about it, were kind of like, I don't know how interested I'm in Earth versus anything else. And like, but it's cool. They're setting up like you're saying, like I want to stay on Earth and see how this all works out.
I was foolishly also like picturing more of a, I guess, less of a sci-fi Earth. It's kind of like, are they going to fucking crash down in the suburbs? Like, what's going on? Yeah.
I did not expect that fucking ship to land right in the heart of the city.
Yeah.
Of the
city.
But I like the take on like where Earth would be at that point.
Yeah, yes. It's cool. Just like divided into three mega corporations owning everything. Yeah. But yeah, very good so far. Enjoying it quite a bit. Can't wait to see more from old Noah Hawley. And then lastly, just touch on a movie really quick. Honey, Don't Meet. We saw it. I don't think you've seen it, right?
I didn't see
it, no. I mean, there's not a lot to say about it. I think I'm always excited when a Coen is doing something, unless it's the Garfield Coen, then I'm not as excited.
That's but Eaton, not Ethan.
Not Ethan. Eaton Coen. It's poor, was it Bill Murray?
Yeah.
It fell for that. But so like Coen brother goes and makes a movie with Margaret Qualley. You're like, oh, cool, interesting. And it's just, it's so scattered and so messy and so like tonally fucked up. And there's so many issues with it. It kind of bummed me out because there's like a couple really cool like snappy lines which you expect out of Coen brothers, right? And you can see like that's where his strength is in their partnership when they typically are together. But he's missing something to tie everything together. Had a really, I think, bad ending.
Like, oh, terrible.
One of the worst endings I can remember in a long time. Like, to the point where like...
You're almost selling me on the movie like in a bad way. Like, I almost want to see how bad the ending could be.
We saw it as me fights Kelly and I forget who the... We had someone else, a couple other people as well. But, like, the movie ended and we all just looked at each other like, that can't be it. That can't be the only thing that they got there. And it was insane.
I like the cast, too. Like, everyone in the cast. How's Chris Evans? Is he good?
He's barely in it.
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, it's a role that was built for, like, John Goodman, like, 30 years ago. Yeah. And they have him doing it, so it doesn't necessarily work all that well.
Aubrey Plaza and Margaret Qualley, are they good in it?
These are all good. It's just like it's totally fucked up. They have like Margaret Qualley doing I think
Aubrey Plaza, and I hate to say this right now, but I thought she was pretty fucking bad in that movie.
They're being asked to do opposite things, and like it's just stylistically such a clash because like Margaret Qualley's doing like this noir detective performance. Yeah. And Aubrey Plaza is kind of playing like a regular person for most of the movie, I would say. And then like everyone else is kind of just normal, but then Qualley's doing this like private dick 50s thing.
They're doing it?
Oh,
they're doing it. Oh, trust me. This movie tries to also make like present itself as like this really sexy, sleek thing. It just comes off as like horny and like gross and weird. Like it doesn't, it gets...
It's very clearly, and we mentioned this in our chat too, it's a movie about lesbians written by a straight guy who like...
Well, he thinks it was written by his wife, for sure.
But the observational of like how the lesbians interact, it's like they interact like it's a porno. You know what I mean? Like a porno made by straight people for straight guys. You know what I mean? Like that part to me is...
Yeah. Did you see Driveway Dolls?
No.
It's almost beat for beat has all the same problems. Mm. Same fucking problems.
Isn't this like a trilogy? He's trying to do a third one. Like,
I sure hope not.
I don't think there's any wheels. There's something to Qualley's character in this, but like, I think we're done with this.
Yes, they have got to reunite. The best way to put it, you know how like comic books, you get a stenciler, and then you get the colorist.
Yep.
Ethan's the colorist.
Yeah.
Okay. Needs a stenciler. Yeah. He needs somebody to draw some lines on the page for him.
Yeah. All right. And he needs someone to like wrap up the story because like I feel like he really didn't. Like I don't understand how he laid out this entire script and was like, that's right. That's how I want this story to end. Like, there's just no way. There's just no way.
Really coasting off the Coen name right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have they talked at all about reuniting?
I fucking hope so.
It's a real shame. I watched Raising Arizona.
What is the last movie they did together?
That would have been Hail Caesar.
Oh.
Yeah, really? That's like 2013?
Yeah, it was a while.
Maybe a little after that. I think it was in theaters when I was working in theaters.
Okay. I like Hail Caesar, by the way.
I'm a
Hail Caesar guy. Not like I don't think it's one of their best, but like I liked it more than people seem to generally.
A lot better than the last, like whatever they've been doing. I mean, I like Tragedy of Macbeth, but good Lord.
Yeah, that was a bit of a tome.
Yeah.
So yeah, now we're going to, in the edit, say goodbye to Robbie, and we will come back to him with our casting of DC characters. Okay, it is time to review Highest to Lowest, the latest Spike Lee joint. It's one where I think that both of us had like a shared level of both like anticipation and sort of hesitation. The anticipation being it's Spike Lee and Denzel Washington, like immediately an incredible duo, right? Like you want that no matter what. But the hesitation coming from the fact that he's not that far removed from trying to remake an Asian classic movie and absolutely bombing it. Like terrible movie from a usually great director. So highest to lowest. Let me just get your synopsis really quick before I forget about it. It's the one thing I typically seem to write down and always forget. Something I forgot this time. When a Titan music mogul is targeted with a ransom plot, he is jammed up in a life or death moral dilemma. Obviously directed by Spike Lee, starring Denzel, Jeffrey Wright, A$AP Rocky, Rick Fox makes an appearance for a minute, among many others. So highest to lowest. There's some good things about it. There are some bad things about it. I think the thing with
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today, taste the difference, and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
Would you say there are some highs and lows?
There are certainly a lot of highs and a lot of lows, without a doubt. And I would say that the lows, unfortunately, outpace a lot of the highs for the movie. I enjoyed Denzel. I enjoyed a lot of the visuals that Spike Lee delivered. I think from a story perspective, he made some changes I don't love. And I think in the editing room, this is very, I don't know if sloppy is the right word, because it might just be intentional choices. I don't love how it was put together. So I'd say overall, highest to lowest, not nearly as bad as his Old Boy remake, but it is just not, it's not, you expect more from Spike Lee. And especially after like The Five Bloods, which I liked a lot,
mm-hmm.
like had he got some excellent performances across the board from everyone, that cool story, fascinating. I think this is kind of a bummer to me.
Yeah, I've been enjoying late stage Spike Lee quite a bit between The Five Bloods and before that Black Klansman.
Yeah.
Good stuff. This, not so much. There are good parts to this movie. Denzel for sure being one of them. There's a sequence. This isn't a spoiler. It's a movie shot in New York City on a train in the subway system that is awesome. But outside that, man, this is rough. And the first hour is very fucking rough. Like you said, the editing is all over the place. He never holds on a shot more than 10 seconds. The music choices are fucking bizarre in this movie. Bizarre. And it's not something Spike Lee is like new to, like including that music throughout, you know, conversations and, you know, just letting it play in the background. But this was terrible. Terrible. Taking away from the movie entirely. I'd love to see a cut without that music.
You're talking about the original score, or you're talking about his?
The original score.
Okay.
I wish there were more needle drops. We're talking about the movie follows a music producer with the best ears in the biz. We get like two needle drops the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of problems here, and it's really tough when, you know, you try not to compare it when they're a reinterpretation or a reimagining of a movie, but when you're remaking what is one of consensus, or what is, I think, there's a consensus that this is a top 20 movie all time, at least one of the all-time greats from one of the all-time great filmmakers. It's unavoidable that I'm going to want to compare it to that. Like, it's just unavoidable, and this doesn't hold a candle in really any facet of filmmaking. Like, it doesn't come close. I'm sorry. Like I said, there's some good stuff here, but I hated a lot of this. Really did not like it. Pretty disappointed. I think Spike would tell you the same thing 10 years from now.
What's weird, too, is, like, I think that you aren't immune from criticism trying to remake a classic, right? Like, you feel like you have to embrace that.
Yes.
Like, you're taking on that challenge, so, like, it's now on you to pay your respect to it, to make it a great movie and all those things. And so I just want to get that out of the way, too. So, like, it's not like, oh, well, it was such a hard thing to remake. Like, well, then don't do it.
Yes, I know. There's a group of people that are like, you can't criticize, you know, you can't compare it to the original. It's a different movie. It's like, well, he called it highest to lowest. Like, he called it highest, high to low. Like, I'm sorry. He's taking the story. I mean, it's being sold as that. Like, he's wearing a high and low, like, t-shirt on the red carpet. I'm going to compare it. I'm sorry.
He named it, well, the guy was Kingo in the original thing. Yes. His guy David King or whatever. It's just a remake. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or reimagining, whatever.
Do you want to talk about the supporting cast as well?
We could definitely, yeah. So here, we'll talk about what we like and we didn't like in this. Like you mentioned, Denzel, I think no matter what the movie is, good or bad, even in, like, for example, like Gladiator 2. Like,
you can't turn in a bad performance.
It's impossible. He's always the best part, no matter what, if it's bad or a good movie, he's always great. Visually, I think you get a lot of really cool, beautiful shots in this. Like,
there are a lot of cool. I wish it was more consistent with how cool it was. One of the best things about the original is how much they hold on the architecture. Mm-hmm. Like, the camera really doesn't move too much. But everything in frame is so beautiful, especially the way it's blocked, and just that Japanese, that house, that Japanese architecture is just so gorgeous to look at. So when he's doing it with New York City architecture, I'm thinking like, oh, this is going to be a knockout. And he kind of gets there at points, but he really doesn't ever commit to it. I don't know. And especially with the editing, that nothing ever, you can't ever stay and look at a frame for more than 5 seconds.
Yeah. I think visually, like, it looks good. You know what I mean? Like, it's very difficult. And we talk about this with, like, Celine Song and, like, Materialist, whatever. Like, very few people can shoot New York well. Like, obviously, Spike Lee is a
yes.
Like, probably definitively the New York, like, director of the last 20 plus, like, 30-ish yes. years, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets that for sure. The one thing I would say that I wish we got more out of is, like, we get a lot of the opulence in the B-roll and the stuff that we get. We don't get a lot of the dingy.
Yes.
Which I do feel like is important because, you know, you're seeing the highest to the lowest. You're supposed to be seeing where the top echelon are and where the bottom echelon are. And I feel like you didn't get a lot of the second half. On the negatives, okay, supporting cast is a big thing to talk about here. A$AP Rocky was not ready for this. He was not ready for this role.
Not ready, but... not even close to being the worst.
He's not even close to the worst. But I gotta say,
yes.
A$AP Rocky was not ready for this performance. He needed like a few more reps under his belt before taking on a Spike Lee antagonist role.
Yes.
And it reminded me almost of Spike Lee's acting in Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
Like, where he's like clearly he's getting circles ran around him by everybody in that movie. Like he is not a good antagonist. He's just not trained in this yet. You know what I mean? No. He's just not ready for that. And, like, there's just a lot of stuff throughout it. Like, I think they thought his original song was going to be a banger.
Yeah.
It's just not.
From the back to the front.
From the back.
All goatee from the front to the back.
Like, they really thought that song was going to be a banger, and that was just not. And, like, again, the whole, like, oh, is that the best year for music? And, like, that to me was kind of frustrating, the A$AP Rocky performance. But, like, let's get to the other performances.
The wife was, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Whoever, what's her name? I actually don't even know if I want to say her name because I'm about to just say, like, she was just terrible. Just terrible. Ill almost finish, on, like, soap opera. Like, it makes every scene she's in feel like a soap opera. Her.
Dude, Jeffrey
her
Wright.
Kids. Jeffrey Wright is doing this performance that's really not working. It's funny. I'll tell you that much. It's fucking hilarious.
He's one of the better actors performance-wise in the last 10 years. This is, like, his worst performance.
And I do kind of like some of the changes they made with that character in terms of, like, updating it. He has a lot more agency. In the original, he's just kind of whimpering almost.
2D character on the side, yeah.
And this character was a lot more interesting. But, like, yeah, the Jeffrey Wright performance is just fucking insane. That performance, the kids, terrible.
The kids are whatever. Like, they're not.
They're kind of off to the
Rick
side.
Rick Fox out of nowhere, just
Rick
like.
Fox, bad. Rod Strickland.
Rod Strickland, yeah.
The cops, terrible. The cops
are so bad.
Terrible, which is a shame because, in my opinion, the best part of the original is the 30-minute investigation sequence with the police officers doing all their different tasks. You know, you have people knocking on doors, people finding out about the payphones, everything. And they're very competently portrayed and. They're great performances. The lead detective is amazing in that movie. Here, we have the fucking insurance. We have Mayhem.
Mayhem, and they're all searching for quips.
Yes, and they're all terrible, like comically bad at their job.
Comically, like inept bad at their job. And it's...
which there's a commentary in there, but it's unwieldy and it's not in the movie for it.
Yeah, it's very frustrating because, like, typically speaking, and, like, we just talked about this with the Five Bloods, like, he gets monster performances out of people.
Yeah.
Like, again, that Delroy Lindo in the Five Bloods, that's, like, one of the best performances of the last, like 10 years, or maybe even, no, 10 years now. Like, it's so good. And, like we were saying, I was saying before, do the right thing. Like, he can't do much of himself.
No.
Like, he gets monster performances out of people. And this, outside of Denzel, where it's, like, it's almost impossible to fuck him up.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was not really, like, a good fit. Like, yeah. I don't feel like Ice Spice in there for 2 seconds, which is stupid. Like, why even advertise?
So stupid.
The acting across the board, even, like, his business partner.
Oh, yes.
Hamming it up. Like, that other guy, the third business partner, too. The fuck was that?
Wait, who's the third business partner?
The white guy, Ergus?
Oh, yeah, the white guy that they bring in for 2 seconds. Yeah. I don't know.
It's just, nobody's given the right or a good performance, and it's very weird.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre that Spike Lee announces he's making... So these must have been casting decisions. It's not like they couldn't get anybody.
Yeah,
it's
Spike Lee making a remake of Kurosawa. Like, that should be an easy
thing. Denzel signed on the lead. Like, yeah. You would think people would be chomping at the bit to be in this movie. And I'm sure they were, but this cast was not it. I'll
say that. It's also tough to be like, oh, well, they're all bad. Like, it's the director. If you can't get to the right take, like, there's a point where that comes down to the director, right?
Yeah.
Like, with ASAP Rocky, you could say, like, hey, don't cast him. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, you try to do it to try and get some of, like, the New York love, and then, you know, maybe he's, because he's a rapper from, like, you could get something out of that, and just, like, that could just be like, oh, well, he's just not ready for that. But I feel like there is a point where if nobody's giving, and these are good actors, especially Jeffrey Wright, and you can't get a good performance out of them, then it's going to be on you.
Yeah. That's very fair. Very fair. But I also struggle to blame him because, like you brought up, like he's never had this problem before.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say he's never had that problem before. And so this feels like an anomaly. And I don't know what happened in the casting department, but these were just, it was poorly casted across the board. Just the wrong picks almost at every single stop, except for Denzel. There's also a lot of changes to the story, which I think do it no.
Yeah, you were. I mean, you mentioned that to me too. Yeah,
the cop portion. I think the whole police investigation at any given point is terrible. Just handled terribly, and the method in which he kidnaps and gets caught is so like elementary compared to what happened before. Like he gets caught because he just keeps playing his fucking own song over and over again.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah.
In the original, it takes forever for them to find him.
Yeah.
It takes a while. Like, they really have to search. There's other elements at play. Like, he kills his accomplices with heroin.
Heroin overdoses, yeah.
It's a nice little wrinkle that adds, like, an element of how are we going to catch him. This is just, you know, open, shut case. It's open, shut. It would have been over in 3 minutes if Mayhem wasn't there going, like, that's a stupid fucking clue. We're looking for real ones.
Yeah. Like, and just constantly, like, shitting on everybody. You know what
yes.
I mean? Yeah, that was a bummer. I also don't love how they wrapped up ASAP's like kind of storyline, because I feel like in the original the whole idea is like he's like the who's like a nurse or something, right? Like
he was an intern, at a hospital. Yeah.
Like he was so mad looking at that every single day, but at the end of the day, like when he goes to the prison, like he's still not happy. You know what I mean? Like he didn't achieve anything. Mm-hmm. But then the ASAP Rocky, he's like, I'm getting deals. All these places are breaking down. Like he's going to be successful and get out of this. Like, you know what I mean? Like better.
I viewed that as he was lying and like trying to, you know, pump his chest and like trying to garner interest from him to get.
But I don't even
his hero to sign him. Yeah, I still didn't really care for that either.
I don't like that. I like the fact that it was like you kind of get back to the space of like desperation.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't like him coming off like, hey, you didn't get the deal with what was the record company called again? Hitmakers or whatever.
Yeah,
Smashing Hits Records.
Yeah, Smashing Hits Records. Which, by the way. We all root for Smashing Hits Records. Them selling people, like, people root for record labels in this movie. They're like, dude, we got, like, 6 of the top 10 hits. People are loving our record label.
Yeah.
No one says that.
No one's ever said that. That's another issue I think it was in this movie, like, kind of present. I almost wish that instead of it being a record label, that he made it, like, a movie thing.
Yeah.
Like, something more in his space, in his world. Because it did feel kind of like maybe he doesn't totally get this world versus the world he's, like, grown up in, more or less.
I would agree, honestly. Like the way they talk about it, and they say so many stupid fucking things in this movie. God, like what is it? Like they talk about the streams, and he's like, "I don't need the streams. I just listen to the music." Like, what else?
He's trying to make him like Rick Rubin or something.
AI is not gonna take us over. Like
AI is the future of music.
Throwing that was clearly thrown in last second. Yeah. we're gonna put down AI real quick. Just so many bad changes in here.
And another thing I think we should really talk about is just really how bad that editing was.
Because like terrible.
I don't. And again, it's tough to even be like, oh, it was bad, or if it was intentionally done, which is also still bad. But it was tough because like when I watched it, I'm like, did he mess this up? But then I'm like, did he do it on purpose? Is this an aesthetic choice to make it look like this? Because like it's so, especially like you mentioned in the first half, it's you don't linger on a shot for more than 1.5 seconds. It's just cut, 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 cut. And it's so, like, whiplashy for no reason. I don't feel like it achieves anything for...
It's the wrong movie experience. For it. It's the wrong movie for that kind of editing. Like, yeah. It just simply is.
Look, you have Denzel Washington.
Just let him sit there and act his ass off.
Exactly. Let him sit there with, like, 20 seconds minimum to roll. You know what I mean? Like, for a take. Like, let him go off. And, like, you just don't really get that.
Yeah. And we're moving locations so much in this movie, too. Have you noticed that? That's another thing from the original that I just fucking... And I'm sorry. I'm going to keep comparing it. The original really has, like, these 20-minute chunks where you don't change locations. You're in the house for 30 minutes. You're at the police station for 30 minutes. You're on the train for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it lets, like, tension just build over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of a
huge misfire. And the ending. You want to talk about that ending?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had a problem too much with that ASAP Rocky, like, ending, like, in the jail cell. You cut to black right there. Would have been okay.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive to add another 10 minutes where you have that girl get up there and sing and him sit there and listen for the entirety of the song.
Yeah.
And act like this is a commentary and like an artist is true art and like, oh my God, fuck off.
Get a smaller record label.
You got the best ears in the game, but the coldest heart.
Oh, yeah.
God, fuck ass line. Yeah. Also, before we wrap things up here, that Kamala Harris poster.
How about that? That was tough.
That was crazy. Every teen boy's got a Kamala Harris poster in his room.
Yeah, that was a bit of a him being in a bubble type moment. Every teen boy in the inner city. Imagine that.
Oh,
you imagine?
God. The fuck was that?
Yeah, that was tough. I do want to say, like, we're dumping on it because it's tough to compare to the original. And also just wasn't particularly well done, which is crazy. You look at the reviews, they're like, oh, this is like a 95 on Rotten, which is insane.
Listen, I get it. Like, I like Spike, too. Like, I get people who don't like him. I like him. He's a very, just fun guy to follow. He's a big champion for international cinema, new up-and-coming filmmakers. He's an easy guy to root for in my mind. This is a misstep. I just don't imagine anybody's going to come back and be like this. There's going to be a lot of 5 years from now, people come back and be like, this maybe wasn't his best.
90% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Oh, I've seen friends give it very high scores on like Letterboxd.
Yeah,
I've been surprised.
Like bustling in ways that it makes other movies look anemic.
Is it?
Dope film all the way around. Strong collaboration between, it weaves modern technology, social media, and culture into a classic story. I don't think it's any of those things, honestly. Like it's,
I think it's
cool.
I think it's pretty unwieldy in the way it integrates modern technology into the movie. It feels like it was written by a 55-year-old man.
It's kind of tough, Ricky, because there's things in it that are good. We were dumping out a lot. There are things that are cool. You mentioned the train sequence.
I really like that train sequence.
It looked really cool. Looked really fucking cool. And that's a point where, like, that whole last half, I kind of liked actually the music.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way that they integrated that. Like, that whatever main theme that, like, I like that theme playing in as they're chasing people down. Like, I enjoyed that. I don't buy 70-year-old man beating the piss out of ASAP Rocky. That's one part where I was like,
the whole movie, man.
Dude, that part maybe I don't buy so much, but I do think the train sequence in general is very interesting. And even parts of the drop-off, which that was kind of frustrating because like the drop-off of the money, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When I think about something like Inside Man, like he does such a good job with something so similar to that in Inside Man, and it does not work the same way in this movie. Which
ASAP kind of, Man also or ASAP Man,
ASAP Man, yeah.
Inside Man was very self-contained though, like it's self-contained, and you had Clive Owen for Denzel to bounce off,
yeah,
and Chiwetel Ejiofor,
yeah.
So you had like
in Defoe, like
you had the right people,
yeah. There's a lot missing. I do think if they had a better actor for the antagonist, it would make for a better movie, for sure. That was one. I had a couple questions out of it. One of them would it be better with a different actor than ASAP Rocky? I think for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you had a legit actor that could go back and forth with him in a more antagonistic way and just had a little more skill. And again, it's not a knock on ASAP Rocky. I just think you just took a guy like a 17-year-old and threw him in the majors with Spike Lee and fucking Denzel Washington. You just put him up against prime Randy Johnson and was like, go do it.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not going to work. Unless he's like in once in a lifetime level talent, which he just like once in a lifetime. And also, should Spike Lee be banned from making Asian movies?
Yeah.
I think he's done.
I think he should be banned.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
I think he's officially banned from the remake world.
Why? Why? Why keep doing them?
Also, I think probably Hollywood in general should just be kind of banned from trying to remake Asian movies in general. I feel like we're, or maybe just foreign movies.
Wait for the Parasite remake, buddy.
Do you remember the Force Majeure?
Downhill.
So bad. Downhill is so bad. Oh my god! And then like they're doing the remake of Mads' movie.
After the Hunt.
No, the drinking one.
Another Round.
You don't remember that? They were making a remake of that. Why? Making fucking, they made remakes of, like, every time they do one of these, or reimagining, it just doesn't work. If you want to take the core story elements and do something different, do that.
Yeah.
I don't think this works. But yeah, so frustrating. Some things are good. Denzel, again, amazing. Some of the sequences look really good. Maybe a bit too much on the B-roll side here.
Yeah.
This is kind of like one big B-roll movie. But...
There's a lot of points where I was like, am I watching one of my YouTube videos on New York City architecture? Like, just drone footage. Like,
yeah, just drone and helicopter footage. But yeah, so a little frustrating. You come to expect more from someone like Spike Lee, who is an incredible director, capable of amazing things. And again, drawing out incredible performances, not just from his main cast, but like the side characters. You know what I mean? And he just got nothing out of that from this group. And the story was just a nothing to me. And kind of frustrating. Do you think, another last question I had, do you think this could have been saved with a re-edit?
I don't know. I think the biggest...
Like, is there a better movie hidden in this with a cleaner edit?
I don't think so. I think there's a lot of problems even outside. I think maybe square one is the performances for me. Like,
but like
the performances, and then I can deal with the editing after that. There's a lot of stuff where it's just... I don't know if there's a movie. I mean, obviously there's a good movie in here, fucking High and Low. But this version, I don't know if there was a great movie in here.
The acting thing too, even when I think about it with the editing, like there's no way that was Jeffrey Wright's best take on half of those lines. There's no chance. So I feel like there has to be footage in here that creates a better movie. It feels like a lot of this was lost in the editing room.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Very disappointing.
Very disappointing.
So excited for whatever. We'll always be excited for Spike Lee movies whenever they come out. I'll be there that opening weekend. But this one is a bit of a bummer. So highest to lowest, not exactly what we expected. For me, I ended up with like a 2.5 on Letterboxd. I don't know what you ended up with on.
I'm at 2.5 too. I think I wanted to go to 3, but I truthfully just cannot. Like this is right down the middle, I think.
By the way, some of the better humor.
I can't sit here and say it was more good than bad. So. Yeah.
There were a lot of funny moments. That's the only thing I think.
There were some funny moments.
Good lines. Like the scene where you're like, you can't track a burner. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, that was funny.
Yeah, that and getting John Turturro's brother on the train just to sit there and say, fuck Boston. Fuck and then Boston. Boston pulled the emergency brake.
Boston pulled the emergency brake. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some good humor in this.
He was very, you could tell he wrote this like a week after the Celtics won the NBA championship. He was going through it.
With the Celtics headband too, yeah. So again, that's highest to lowest. I don't think either of us loved it very much. Wanted to expect way more out of it. And now I think I understand why Apple was not pushing it.
There's a reason why this didn't go wide.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go to our casting of the DC heroes back with Robbie Fox. All right, welcome back, Robbie. You didn't leave the room. It's only been 2 actual seconds of real time. But we're going to be doing now we're saying a casting of DC characters. The way that we did it is I laid out for them, you're going to be casting a Batman, an Aquaman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Cyborg, basically the Justice League, more or less. And then on top of that, you get one random hero to pick, and then you get 3 villains, whatever you want, whoever you want to cast in them. We'll start out with the easy one. We'll just do Batman right off the bat. And we'll kind of like snake it in a way. Again, it's not a draft. You can double pick the same characters. It doesn't matter. And I'll just go first. It might be chalky. I don't know how people feel about him as a Batman actor. I kind of like Sebastian Stan as Batman. I think he's easy. I think he blends well with Corn Sweat in my head, like them next to each other, battling up against each other. I think he's capable of like a darker, more gruff performance. He can get jacked. We've seen him in Winter Soldier. So I think he could be a good Wayne, and he could be a really good Batman. And I think the Wayne is more important. We haven't had a really good Bruce Wayne specifically performance. Like, no disrespect to Pattinson. That's just like a different level of Bruce Wayne. I feel like Christian Bale was okay, but like...
I like Bale's Bruce Wayne.
Bale's Bruce Wayne was great.
Yeah.
This is where I feel like Sebastian Stan can really star. You know what I mean? Like, he can really give you a combination of like the comic booky Clooney, which was not like, not love, but like, I feel like his Bruce Wayne was good. It's just Batman, sorry.
There's something in my head that can't see... top level Marvel actors is like
as like a Batman.
He's almost too famous in my head as Winter Soldier to play Batman.
I feel like you could say the same about like a lot of like, well,
think
about
that it. Eliminates half of Hollywood, obviously, like,
which is a huge issue.
Yeah,
but like picture his chiseled ass jaw in thing, man.
He does have the jaw.
He has the jaw. I think he could do the voice.
I have seen it before. Like people are pushing for this. I think I would be almost an outlier.
Let's see.
I don't know how he would do as a Batman. Do you think the Bruce Wayne element is interesting? And I really think he'd do well with the direction they're taking him in, which is with having the Bat Family. I think he would do really well as like with younger people.
That's I mean, just I'm just looking at a picture of Sebastian Stan in a black suit and like.
I mean, if he wasn't Winter Soldier, I'd be like, he's literally like.
Yeah, and he is going to be tied up with. I mean, he's still in the MCU somehow.
He's running for office right now.
He's going to be the president.
I think he's a congressman by Thunderbolts.
Yeah, he's definitely already in office. Yeah.
We got an election to run. We got a campaign to run.
But I think he'd be really solid as Batman. Gooch.
I like that pick. My pick is very polarizing. Robert Pattinson.
You want to bring him over?
I want to bring him over. I was out on it for the longest time, and it is a huge clash between styles. But isn't that what Superman and Batman always are?
It's
huge clash between styles, and isn't that what makes it beautiful? The peanut butter jelly element of it,
the sweet and the sour.
And the other thing is, I can really picture those two being best friends.
Cornsweet and Brock Pattinson.
Cornsweet and Pattinson.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yes. Like there's the cat dog element to it, where it's like he's the cat, he's the dog. He's like their personalities would be complete opposites, and I think they'd mesh well because they ultimately are just good people.
I agree. I think in my head I picture.
Oh, it'd be tough to pull off.
I picture Cornsweet almost like in the Justice League like cartoons.
Yes.
I picture him in like a big beefy Batman that's just like a sarcastic asshole, not a depressed asshole, but like a sarcastic like don't talk to me type of asshole. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's in my head. That's the only reason why I don't see the fit, only because he's more of like a dour, depressed Batman. So, but that's that'd be my only complaint. Other than that, Robbie.
Batman's my favorite character like of all time. I have no fucking idea how to cast Batman. This was the hardest one on the list for me, and it should be the easiest, but I decided to just fucking go with someone's name who is almost Batman itself. I'm gonna go Tom Bateman. How about that? I'm going with Tom Bateman, Daisy Ridley's husband.
What?
Okay.
A British guy. So we would have Pattinson and Bateman both together as Brits. I think he was in some of those fucking fall of the, not the.
It's so funny you say this because literally just yesterday, my fiance was asking me about this guy, and I was like, I have no idea who that is. Because he's casting some Colleen Hoover.
He was in the Murder on the Orient Express, Death on the Nile. I saw him in Behind Her Eyes, and I thought he was pretty good in that. Not a great show, but he was pretty good in it. And if you look at him, he's got a Bruce Wayne look for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he could pull it off. I think he's got the jawline. But again, this was so hard for me. I didn't want to just go like Jensen Ackles or like one of the people that are, you know, being fan cast a ton.
I don't like that fan casting at all.
And Jensen Ackles?
People love that
fan. I like casting. Him as an...
I don't hate it, to be honest, because I know he does a good Batman voice.
He does a good voice, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of got the look for like an older Batman.
He'd definitely be a good clash, I think, with Cornsweet.
I say this with love to him as someone who watched infinite episodes of Supernatural. Yeah. He is not a movie actor.
He's not a movie.
Really only know him from The Boys. Like
he's good on TV.
He can come in, you know, give you a good single, a good double, and do that consistently.
Not a home run hitter,
which I really think that's the tough part about Batman is that there's such a storied legacy behind great actors taking on that role that when you throw out someone like Brandon Sklenar, I go, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Even the bad ones are played by great actors.
Yeah. It's a tough
Batfleck.
One.
I mean, we have Affleck and Clooney playing bad. Those are the bad versions.
Yeah.
Like,
what about Theo James?
Theo James is interesting.
Yeah. I think he'd be fascinating. He's big, huge.
I'm not a big Theo James guy.
I'm not like the hugest fan of him, but I think he's got the look probably.
Awful in The Monkey.
That's the monkey issue. That's not a him problem.
He was awful.
The monkey that killed our family's back.
God, we were just talking about that the other day. Goddamn, what? That was one of the worst theaters.
So bad.
I've ever had.
There was like seven of us excited. We were so pumped. We're gonna go left. This is gonna be fun. It's like the first time we went to a group movie in a while.
Yeah.
All left, just being like one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Terrible.
I had fun.
You're up first for Aquaman.
Aquaman. I'm gonna go with an chalk. Fan cast.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to the same one.
It's Alan Ritchson.
Yep.
Everyone wants him as Batman. He's the perfect Aquaman.
That's mine too.
He's right there.
It is mine too. I'll throw out an alternate just so we have another one on the board. But Alan Ritchson, sticking with him.
God, he's so good.
He's played him before.
Yeah.
In Smallville?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he just looks exactly like him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He looks so much like him.
He's the right age. Everything on paper works. I think he does. I think he is ready for that next step into like a movie star role. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
it's
what's
like the Momoa overcorrection too, where they cast Momoa because they were like Aquaman. Everyone thinks is fucking lame, so we got to cast the coolest guy ever.
Yeah.
Okay, cast the guy who everyone right now is like. Guys have a man crush on him. Girls mm-hmm. have a regular crush on. Like he is the guy right now. One of the guys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What does the young Aquaman say? That was really funny in the first Aquaman. Say, you told me they killed my father.
Oh yes, the young actor was so bad. I forgot yeah. the young version of him.
Willem Dafoe too.
He's training with Willem Dafoe on the beach. Yeah.
You told me to kill my dad. Like it was funny.
I will throw out. Alexander Skarsgård as a
I could absolutely see that.
I don't think he would ever do it. I don't know if he's into doing capes and stuff like that, but
just watched The Northman. Loved it.
Dude, I loved it too. Exactly. People didn't like it because it's dense. I'll give them that. It's weird, but like, man, I loved it.
I loved it. It did at points when they're doing the wolf shit and
I love that.
That losing me.
They're farting and they're sniffing their
farts. Yeah, that started losing me. That I was like, all right, what the fuck? Get on to the battle, brother.
So now Wonder Woman, and I'm going to go first. And I have a feeling me and Goose probably have the same pick, right?
I think this will be
I think we all have the same pick here.
Adria Arjona, right?
Easiest pick of all time.
Goddamn.
Easier pick than Alan as Aquaman.
Yeah, I mean, that's two chalks in a row. No, didn't mean to do it that way, but I do think that she is just such an obvious, like, no-brainer. Like, she's got everything it takes, like, immediately.
And just gave an amazing performance in Andor, and everyone is on board right now.
And Andor and Hitman and everything she's in, she's great.
Hitman, yeah.
Dude, she is fantastic in everything I've seen her in. She's got the charisma, she's got the look. I'm sure they can, like, get her all jacked up on the Hollywood steroid cycle or whatever.
Also, Wonder Woman doesn't necessarily have to be that jacked.
That's true. Yeah, it's not
she's like a mystical.
Carter wasn't like a bodybuilder.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not even like a huge deal. I saw people making that like, well, that's a deal breaker. It's like, no, it's not.
I've kind of noticed that with Superman castings. Like, they're not all like jacked action figures the way Marvel has kind of turned into lately. Or most franchise stuff has honestly turned into that. But like, Nathan Fillion, like, not big. Even Cornsweet is like... He's big, but like
Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, Mr. Terrific.
As wearing a leather jacket, you can't even see his muscles.
Yeah.
Hawk Girl, like none of them are like huge jacked people.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he keeps that trend going. Obviously John Cena's crazy looking, but
that's like I think that helps so much for his character, you know what I mean? Specifically. Yes. So
just overcompensating so clearly.
Remember that was one of my favorite scenes in the beginning of Peacemaker when he gets his X-rays. And he's like, is there any way you could like zoom in on my small muscle groups? It makes it look like I'm only focusing on the big ones. And I put a lot of effort into him.
I'll throw out one alternate.
Okay.
Melissa Barrera, who's been...
She's really young.
She's young, but her last... I was very out on her Scream 5. But the most... Or Scream 6? Scream 5. The last Scream movie, though, I'll tell you what. She was big, imposing... Good performance. I was into it.
I think both of the recent Scream movies have been pretty decent.
They said, I saw people, this actually gets thrown out a lot. May
Kalamaway.
Yeah, yes. She gets called there from Moon Knight.
I've seen her thrown out there as well. Yeah. Moon Knight was pretty cool.
I don't know her well enough. So.
Neither do I. And I know
her suit at the end of Moon Knight was sick.
Sick as hell, yeah. And but I think in this case, I think Arjona is just like on another level.
Right there.
Like, yeah.
Immediately cast her. Yeah.
Now The Flash, which you will go first, Robbie. We were agonizing over this one earlier.
This was very hard.
If we have the same pick, it will be crazy.
I'd be mind blown if we had the same pick. I went with maybe a recency bias pick.
Uh-huh.
But I loved him in Weapons. I'm going Austin Abrams.
Wow.
The crackhead in Weapons.
I really like that.
I was looking at pictures
of him with like short hair, and I watched him run a lot in that movie, so maybe it put it in my mind. But I was looking at pictures of him with short hair, and I was like, young Flash, I could see that. He doesn't look too dissimilar from Grant Gustin with short hair.
You know what? You got something there.
This might be my favorite pick of the day.
Yeah, this is a really good one, Robbie.
I thought he was so good in Weapons, I was kind of like, who is this guy? I want to see him in more shit.
Yeah, goddamn, that's a really good pick. And that's like it's not like there's no stock, huge amount of star power to it, but I think it's a really good one.
I feel like it's like fairly realistic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn, that's a really good one, Robbie.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that. I could not come up with a name for this. I could not. Name I could really come up with off the top of my head was like Logan Lerman, who I just don't like that casting at all.
I like him for something. He's due for something.
I don't hate that.
I think
because the Barry Allen interpretation I'm most familiar with is the DC animated one from the JLU show. And he was such a big flirt the whole way through. So I'm like trying to think of like which guy is like, you know, handsome enough where he could be flirty throughout, and he's got the blonde hair and the blue eyes. I'm like, Logan Lerman, I just saw Ojai. I'm like just going through my head. But
he's got like, I think he could do that.
Yes.
I don't think it's a bad pick at all.
But I love the Abrams pick. Not really. It's fine.
Could have been better.
Yeah, you can watch it on streaming.
Did she direct it?
Streaming watch.
Did she direct it? I forget.
Ollie Gordon? Yeah.
She also did Theory Camp too, right?
She definitely wrote it, yeah.
So Logan Lerman for The Flash. I had one which I think could potentially be great. It might immediately be shit on the second it would happen.
Sorry, Sophie Brooks wrote Ojai and directed it.
What do you think about Tom Holland as The Flash?
In terms of look, Spider-Man is the issue.
The jitteriness.
I would never be able to see him in a superhero
movie. That's the problem.
Like, that's Peter Parker.
Yeah, that is a humongous, humongous issue. But the more I think about it, and I'm like, who plays that sort of like jittery, young guy actor really well, and who is athletic as shit? Like, he's crazy acrobatic and all that stuff. I think Tom Holland, like, if Spider-Man didn't exist and he was just already famous, I would say, yes, obviously, like, he's the right pick.
But Spider-Man,
I think, is a humongous issue.
People love casting him as Beast Boy, too.
Like, as
Beast Boy and Zendaya and Chalamet and all them, yeah.
Yeah, I know it's not necessarily like a hot pick for this, but I think that when you're, I'm trying to think of who could replicate the,
There's like a nerdiness to it, too.
Exactly, yep. Yeah. The nerdy, dork, younger guy that can also hit like another level with, as far as like the Flashpoint shit. So
he plays that perfectly in spite, like that type of role.
Basically does that.
Yeah.
In the multiverse stuff, too. So,
yeah.
So he could do it. So Tom Holland. And now for Cyborg, the pick I came up with is a guy I don't think I've seen in a movie in a long time, but he was damn good for a stretch. Do you remember Trevante Rhodes?
I'm going to look him
from
up.
From Moonlight?
Oh, yes.
And then, like, after that, he did, like, Predator and, like, a couple other random things. He was really good, and I feel like he just kind of disappeared. He might have something.
I'm like, yeah, I'm literally looking up to see what has he been up to.
I have no idea, but he was
huge now.
Oh, he was awesome.
In Candy Cane Lane in 2023. Oh, yikes.
That's not great.
Bird Box. He was in Bird Box. He
played Mike Tyson in the Mike Tyson miniseries on Hulu. Okay,
that's why he looks so big.
The Tyler Perry thing is making. But, like, this guy, like, huge is good for Cyborg, obviously.
For sure.
Yes.
He was a really good actor in, what do you call it? Was I just saying? Moonlight. Fantastic in that. Like, he's good in these things. And I think he's got the look, the acting ability, and, like, to give it a little more juice than maybe, was that Ray Fisher was able to give it? Not that it was his fault, more just kind of the situation he was in. I thought I liked Trevante Rhodes here.
We'll say 35.
So what?
Cyborg's a young guy.
He did, not necessarily in every iteration. Like, in Cyborg and Justice League, he's, like, in his late 30s, right?
I think he's usually... Is he not usually...
Usually, he is usually coming out of college. You could do an older...
You don't have to do
more. They've done the young version, I guess, already.
In my head, if we're making the Justice League, I want them all to be roughly around the same age.
Will he be Justice League, though? Because they have the Titans movie.
I would love for him to be a Teen Titan.
I didn't even think about that.
I think the way James Gunn's mind work, he probably ends up being the leader and, like, the father figure of the Drax.
So he needs to be, like,
of the Titans.
So he needs to be more of, like a
mid-20s
age.
Yeah, I think mid-20s. Okay. But this guy, I mean, he looks young.
For a version of Justice League,
he could pull off mid-20s.
Yeah.
Trevante Rhodes could.
I'll stick with Trevante Rhodes. Gucci up.
It's a good pick. I'm going to throw this out. Maybe not physically imposing enough, but once you get into the Cyborg side of things, like, a lot of the body's going to be metal, so it's more face. David Johnson from played a robot already.
He did a great job.
I think he's going to knock The Long Walk out of the park, coming up with Cooper Hoffman.
From Alien Romulus, David Johnson, not the Cardinals running back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he played the Cyborg. Oh, yeah.
Yes. That was one of my favorite performances of last year. I think he has a very bright future, and I'd love to see him really blow up. I really am excited for his career. I don't know. I love that performance last year.
If you want to see him blow up, you're going to love watching Cyborg. Destroyed. He also has the Long Walk coming up.
Long Walk coming up, yeah. And he looks like he's put on some muscle for that, to be honest. But, I mean, like we said, he's gonna blow up. Half his body's going to be gone. So.
Yeah. I don't hate that at all. I think that's good. And especially for your version, which you were talking about, the younger version as well. Robbie.
I'm going with another, I guess, recency bias pick. I watched a movie last night called Night Always Comes. It's the new Vanessa Kirby movie on
Netflix. Yeah.
It's not great, but there's an actor in it that I thought was pretty good. His name is Stephan James.
He was
also in 21 Bridges. He's been in a couple things here and there.
Played Jesse Owens, right, in that movie or something? I think he was also in Beale Street Can Talk.
He was, right? Yes. Yeah. He was in Beale Street Can Talk. And I thought he was good, and he was kind of the first name that came to mind for me. He is 31. I just looked it up. But he looks young to me. He looks like he's in his 20s.
I like that. That's a good pick.
And, like, especially, like, this picture where he kind of has the cyborg haircut. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I could kind of see that. And he was really good in the movie last night. So
I like that.
Stephan James, Canadian actor.
Very strong pick. I like that quite a bit. What's Cyborg's real name again?
What was that?
What's Cyborg's real name again?
Ooh, Victor Stone.
Victor Stone. I was about to say, he has a cool ass name, but I can't remember. So Stephan James, or Stephan James, off the board. Your random hero and actor.
So I didn't want to go with the chalk Chalamet as Nightwing.
I had that written down in early draft. It was the first thought that came to my mind. I was like, I really want a Nightwing.
It's right there.
Well, I go. I really want a Nightwing. Who should play him? I was like, Chalamet looks just like him.
He looks just like him. Yeah. Just the coolest fucking dude in the world. I am going with fan casting I have seen before, but I think it's so perfect. Boyd Holbrook is Green Arrow.
Ooh. That's one of your boys right there.
I think it's absolutely.
I like that a lot.
I know people have fan cast him as Batman as well. I think he's like spot on for Green Arrow. I could also see Austin Butler's Green Arrow.
That also worked because Batman and Green Arrow are such similar characters.
Yeah.
And like Green Arrow is kind of the like hippie version of Batman. Like
Batman.
Yeah. And I think the last comic book movie I saw him in was Logan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the villain in Logan. So good. Yeah. He was great. So good in Logan.
And he's in The Sandman, which if you want to count that comic book wise.
True.
I guess, yeah. You always want to make sure Neil Gaiman gets his praise, right?
Yep.
So Boyd Holbrook as Green Arrow, I like that pick quite a bit. Gooch?
I'm going to need you to go. I forgot to.
Chalamet is Nightwing?
I actually have nothing down on it.
So here, I'll give you what mine is, and I'm very interested in what you guys think about this. Constantine.
Okay.
Ooh, Constantine's awesome. And I know that they've talked about, like, or even, I don't even know, I don't think they confirmed it, but like getting Keanu back to play him again. What do you think about Jack O'Connell as Constantine? He is an English character. I think he's Scottish, right? Jack O'Connell, or maybe Irish. So. But Jack O'Connell, when I imagine him with that blonde hair from 28 years later, like that same look, just like as a tortured, like fucking speaker to the dead guy, like fighting demons, I think he could play that so well.
I like that.
I think he would be a phenomenal John Constantine.
That'd be great. I also want to see Constantine like mix it up with the rest of the DCU, like something like that. Because I liked the first movie. I only watched it a few years ago. But like that was one of my first thoughts was like, oh, it'd be cool to see this character like interact with like actual superheroes that we know, and like cape superheroes. Yeah. You know?
Yes. It is funny when they have Constantine in like the DC animated universe and like the Justice League are all like doing their own thing. And then it's literally like the SpongeBob meme, like SpongeBob in hell. It's like Constantine's subplot. He's like literally in hell.
Fighting a fucking demon.
Like show us some of that shit.
I just had one in my head. Off the beaten path, another big Marvel star. Give me Zendaya as Oracle or Barbara Gordon.
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, okay.
I liked it a lot.
Yes.
People try to cast her as Starfire, I think, in the Teen Titans.
If we're doing Teen Titans, it's too late
for that.
People
want Jenna Ortega as Raven.
That'd be pretty good. That's almost too chalky, but it would be a good pick.
I don't hate that, especially since Jenna Ortega's just been picking so many bad movies already. Like, you may as well just roll the dice.
If you loaded that cast with, like, if you actually did, you know, the
Zendaya.
Biggest stars of the young era, that'd be crazy.
Nightwing also?
Yeah.
Or rather, what's his name? Chalamet as a... Yeah.
Like, Chalamet, Zendaya, Jenna Ortega, fucking throw Holland as Beast Boy in there.
Yeah.
That movie would make $1 billion.
Oh, overnight. Yeah. So now we're going to move to the villains, and I'll... We'll sing it back to myself. I think after watching a movie recently, it made me think about this. What do you think about Margaret Qualley as Catwoman?
I think that
would be fucking
awesome.
I could
see that. Yeah, for sure.
I think, especially after watching that movie, I'm like, can you imagine her in like almost the same Anne Hathaway type of role?
Yeah.
Like the...
She is similar Anne Hathaway. I didn't like really put that together. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think she would be such a good Catwoman in this universe. You know what I mean?
She'd be great. I do have to give a little aside really quick. I went and saw Honey Don't this morning at AMC Lincoln Square walking in. You know how the ticket takers there are always super friendly, talk to you about the movie you're about to see. they had a new guy, hadn't seen him ever before. He's like, oh, I really want to see that. That girl's got a great ass.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, all right. And then he like held me up for like 2 more minutes. He's like, she reminds me of Brooke Shields. Like, oh, like, what no. the He's fuck?
Like, you like the right? ass?
Yeah. Like he kind of was like, did you see that movie?
And I
was
need
like,
you to validate yes. this. Yeah.
I do like that Margaret Qualley pick though.
I think she'd be like the full dark hair look, like all that stuff. I think she just fits yes. that perfectly. I mean, in no disrespect to not Zoe Kravitz. Who just played her in
Kravitz?
It is Zoe Kravitz. Yeah. Oh, duh. Yeah. I was like, I always the fact that like the weird relationship between Momoa, Kravitz, Lenny Kravitz, and then like also Lisa Nay, like it really fucks yeah. up my head sometimes. But yeah, I think that Kravitz is amazing too. But also, I think Mark Qualley could crush that.
Yeah, she's got that nice like, sexual lure to her.
She plays a lot of like sexual characters. Yeah,
like dangerous sexual. You know what I mean? Yes. Like yes. yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, even.
Yeah, exactly. So Catwoman, Margaret Qualley, Gooch.
I'm gonna go with Professor Pig.
Okay.
You familiar with him?
Yeah.
Great character. Like, honestly, yeah. great
Terrifying
character.
Too. Like, the look.
Want them to do it so bad.
Look would be, like, horror movie level scary on yes. screen.
And I have Paul Walter Hauser.
Oh, okay. I love
Professor
it.
Professor Pig.
That's so good.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
If you've seen Blackbird, or if you haven't seen Blackbird, watch
God,
it.
God, he's so good in that.
Blackbird, he is such a good, creepy villain, and that's exactly what I'm looking for from my Professor Pig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would love that.
I love explaining that to him. Like, yeah, I think it'd be great as Professor Pig.
Yeah, but that's also like a James Gunn-ass villain. Like, we're going to use Professor Pig.
Totally.
Yeah.
And they've done Professor Pig pretty recently. Like, New 52 Professor Pig is in the yeah. comics and stuff. He's in the Arkham games.
The Arkham games, I think, yeah. really popularized him.
Totally.
So, Professor Pig, Paul Walter Hauser, your pick, Robbie.
I'm going to go for Mr. Freeze here.
Ooh, I can't
wait. All-time favorite villains. And I'm going to go Ben Mendelsohn.
Wow.
I think Ben Mendo as Mr. Freeze would crush. I want to see fucking red goggles.
You want to build a DC
out, isn't it, mate? I just fucking love Ben Mendo in everything. Yeah. I just watched Place Beyond the Pines for the first time. God, he's so good in that, doing like a kind of like a southern accent and everything. Oh my God. I love him in everything. I think he'd be great as Mr. Freeze.
That's a really fascinating pick.
I think they should let him use his original accent too.
Be an Aussie.
I'd be fine with that.
Yes.
Austrian fucking, and.
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares? Granted, that wasn't easy. Granted, it wasn't that
much. Batman, I'm trying to build a cryogenic chamber.
really fucking silly out here, mate.
I'm trying to keep my wife alive. Yeah. Look at it.
Ben Mendo as Mr. Freeze. You go back to back now.
I'm going to go with an actress that I watched in a movie a couple years ago, thought she was great, and I've been seeing her pop up a ton because she's in a new movie that just came out. Samara Weaving.
Oh, yeah.
As Poison Ivy.
Ooh, love that. I have a very similar
she
one.
Looks a lot like Margot Robbie. So I kind of took Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn have that connection and stuff like that. I was like, that could kind of be cool if they kept Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn and we got her as Poison Ivy.
Mm-hmm. I like. I
also looked up Samara Weaving red hair just to make sure it would work. It works.
It works. She's really good in that. She's been in a few horror movies, which I really liked.
Ready or Not was the movie I was referencing.
Yeah.
And I think that movie's awesome. Eeny Meeny is her new movie. And
yeah, I meant to watch that.
Mixed things about it. I've heard it's kind of like Baby Driver.
Not great.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Gooch.
Next one. I'm going to go with what I hope will be the villain for Superman 2, Brainiac.
Oh, I have a Brainiac as my next one.
Mahershala Ali.
Ooh,
Marvel, you let him slip through the cracks. He's going to go over. He's going to go to the rival club. I just love Mahershala Ali, and I love Brainiac as a character. And I don't necessarily think you need to have a set look for him. So this is like best player available for this kind of character.
Mm-hmm,
And I think Mahershala Ali is on the board right now. I don't know. That Blade movie, I don't think he's going to happen.
Not happening. Not
it's happening. Mark it down now. It'll happen.
Never fucking happening. Brainiac, though, I like that. And he's just not had a chance, really. I feel like he's did the fucking garbage. You're not garbage.
Kevin
like,
Smith tried to give him a chance. He was the villain in Kevin Smith's script that Tim Burton shut down in the Nick Cage movie.
Wait, oh, Brainiac.
Brainiac, yeah.
Marshall Lee, who was 17 years old. Yeah.
No.
But yeah, I would love that. He's kind of similar to some of these other actors, like Gervonta even, was also Moonlight. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I haven't seen him do some, again, Jurassic World, but like not in another movie for like a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time I saw, actually. What was Mahershala Ali's last movie?
Before
Jurassic World.
He does the voices in Invincible. He's really good at it.
He does the rock guy.
He was also good in Jurassic World.
He was good.
Not a great movie, obviously, but he was good in it.
just not
he's that crazy trauma dumping.
Leave the world behind. And then before that was Green Book. He took a 5-year break. Damn.
Jesus Christ.
Man, wait, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Sorry.
Voice in the Eternals, Swan Song, Spider-Verse. I forgot his Uncle Aaron in Spider-Verse. Leave the World Behind, which was not good. I forgot about it. But he's only
in
that
again, he's pretty good in it.
He's good
not
in
it a ton. But
yeah, I was about to say, it wasn't in it that
he's
much.
He's always very good, even if the movie isn't.
And then, like, True Detective, Alita Battle Angel, one of your faves.
I watched his season of True Detective, but I heard it was good.
It was good. It was definitely the best since the first. But there's a gap between there and then a giant gap between
Nick Cage in talks to do this season 5.
I know, dude. I should have put that in the news thing. It's one of those things where, like, I'd be more excited for this if this was, like, season 2 of the show.
True. Yeah.
And I'd be way more excited for it if the same showrunner from season 4 wasn't doing this season as well.
Yeah, true.
Because, man, dude, that last season, the ending is so stupid.
Really bad.
So fucking stupid. So Brainiac as Mahershala Ali. I also picked Poison Ivy.
Oh.
And I did Pom Clementif.
Oh, I like that a lot.
I could see that, yeah.
I think I imagine her in Mission Impossible, like big, like badass, strong, also like has like that, like almost similar to the, not to be too like a sexual freak or whatever, but like, it's like, it's like Poison Ivy needs that sort of energy, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because she seduces.
A sexual freak.
Because like she seduces people, and like, I think you kind of get a little bit of that in the Mission Impossible role. Is it Paris?
Sure. Yeah, Paris. You know, James Gunn is reusing her in like a big way.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, and I just think she has the goods. So Poison Ivy as Pom Clementif as Poison Ivy.
You could double up on DCU roles because she's a robot. She's a Superman robot.
She is, and I think you can get away with that. And then lastly, the last pick of the draft, the last villain, I went for Zod, and I think a cool fucking Zod would be Michael Fassbender. Fassbender would be an awesome Zod.
Would be good.
I think he has that like aristocratic like upper echelon of whatever society look to him. You know what I mean? And like I don't think necessarily Michael Shannon had that. But Shannon, I think, was an awesome Zod.
Shannon
but like
was awesome,
really good Zod. But I think there's like different levels to it. So I do think that him back and forth with Corn Sweat could be really interesting.
I could see that. Yeah,
it also depends on the type of movie you're making. Like if you're doing more lighthearted,
see him as Corn Sweat's uncle.
Yeah, exactly.
In a weird way, like, and he'd be Bradley Cooper's brother. Like, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And he's been, like, frozen in the Phantom Zone for whatever. Was it 30 years or some shit?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how that shit works. But I think a Fassbender Zod could be really, really cool. And I think I feel like he needs to return to the superhero world.
He needs to do something, man.
He would check that off too. Two of the most iconic superhero villains.
Magneto and Zod back to back would be crazy. Yeah. Although, hey, shout out the
rest in peace, Terrence Stamp.
Yes, rest in peace,
OG Zod.
Yes.
And Chancellor Valorum.
Mm-hmm. Zod off the board. Your last pick, Gooch.
I'm going to go back to the Batman world. I'm going to go Hugo Strange.
Okay.
I'm going to go Dave Bautista. Put him back in the
glasses. Oh, I like that. And those
he's picking up glasses. He's like Oppenheimer grabbing the hat. He's grabbing the little glasses.
And give him that beard.
Yeah. Cool ass character. Awesome villain. And Bautista, I think, would do really well. I haven't seen him do a villain.
Beat that up, yeah.
And those tiny glasses.
And again, James Gunn guy.
Yeah.
He's gonna be in here at some point.
And everyone goes, oh, you got to cast him as Bane. That would be such a cool, flip dynamic. You would not expect him cast as Hugo Strange, but it would work.
Yeah. Your last pick, Robbie.
So I also went Brainiac, and I went with a fan casting that I saw on Twitter, or maybe like it was on Threads or something. I fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
Michael C. Hall as
I like that a lot.
You don't see him, and I mean, I don't remember the last movie I saw him in. I feel like people just see him and go Dexter,
Game Night.
Game Night.
Oh, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was the villain. Yeah. Remember?
I was thinking Gamer, the one where it's him and old boy. What's Gerard Butler.
Yes.
And like you're playing as a video game character. That's
renting
also
that from Redbox. I feel like that was the ultimate Redbox movie.
Oh, big time. Big time FX movie too.
But like Michael C. Hall with that kind of like, it works in Dexter, obviously. He has such like a monotone delivery of things. Like it's a little bit robotic.
This is going to go.
Yeah. And like he could have almost like a Philip Seymour Hoffman Mission Impossible 3 level delivery of like, I'm going to hurt him. I'm going to kill him. Like that line.
I was trying so hard to get a Cooper Hoffman role in here. I was like looking across the board. Closest I could come was Hoffman for Pig, but I didn't really love that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So our full list, my Batman is Sebastian Stan, Aquaman, Alan Ritchson, Adria Arjona as Wonder Woman. There's basically all the same ones there. Tom Holland as The Flash, Trevante Rhodes as Cyborg, Constantine, Jack O'Connell, Catwoman, Margaret Qualley, Poison Ivy, Pom Clementif, and then Zod, Michael Fassbender. Gooch has Robert Pattinson as Batman coming back in. potentially Alexander Skarsgård as Aquaman, Arjona again, Logan Lerman as The Flash, David Johnson as Cyborg, Barbara Gordon, Zendaya, Professor Pig, Paul Walterhauser, Brainiac, Mahershala Ali, and Hugo Strange Bautista, and Robbie Fox as Tom Bateman. So I need to learn more about this guy. The fact that my fiance who watches no movies, like, who is this guy? It's crazy. And I didn't even know. Alan Ritchson as Aquaman, Arjona as Wonder Woman, Austin Abrams as The Flash. I like that. I think that's
the best pick of the draft.
Pick of the draft. I gotta say,
oh, really?
Pick of the draft from Robbie Fox.
I haven't seen that fan cast anywhere ever, and I really love it.
Mm-hmm. Stephen James as Cyborg, Boyd Holbrook as Green Arrow, Mr. Freeze, Ben Mendelsohn, Samara Weaving as Poison Ivy, and Michael C. Hall as Brainiac. Good-ass picks.
Thank you.
John Wick should watch this. Or John Wick.
John Wick? James Gunn. What the hell just happened there?
I'm just looking at John Wick written down somewhere.
John Wick should watch this.
John Wick, wherever you are, come check this one out, dude.
Just watch.
Yeah, don't worry. He's just listening.
Every pick.
Get on back. Yeah. Yeah, but James Gunn, you should definitely check this one out. I think we got some gold here. Granted, some of these are just kind of chalky fan castings or whatever. And I think he did say specifically that he had been in contact with Alan Ritchson. He's like, I love Alan Ritchson.
He said, let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I wonder what that means. But yeah, so that's our picks. Thank you for watching it next week. I think, what movie you have next week?
It's Caught Stealing.
Caught Stealing, that's right.
Which apparently is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but like upper level good to great things about so far.
No, I'm excited because the last 3 weeks have been fucking awful.
Yeah, been pretty bad and disappointing.
Here Friday was amazing.
I still haven't seen it.
not Dynasty, that one. But thank you, Robbie Fox, for joining. Go watch Caught Stealing, and we'll see you guys next week.